welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here 1 week on from the Apple delivery day, which we covered with fantastic aplomb, I thought. Old Don McAllister opening up his watch on the show was definitely the highlight. And it's been repeated as well on Screencast Online. So if you don't subscribe to Screencast Online, you damn well should. So fantastic job. Thank you to everyone who's sent in images of their watch and their hairy wrist. And we've enjoyed them greatly. Joining me to discuss this 1 week on from the Apple Watch and also Tattoo Gate has got to come up as well at some point. We've got welcome return to Mr. William Green. How the devil are you, man?
I'm very well. Yourself?
I'm grand. You have new employment, I gather.
Yes, sort of. I don't
hunted,
know
hunted
I
back
as new, but I've gone back to my old company.
Good
the
on
company
them.
Before the last one.
They were obviously very sad to see you go.
Well, I was sad to go as well. I didn't really want to leave. But, you know, I tried something new and it didn't work out. So I'm very happy that they've accepted me back.
Oh, mate, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you're happy. So.
Yep. Yep.
Good on. Excellent, mate.
This isn't a bathrobe.
It's not a bathrobe, right. We have cleared that up. It's because the door's open.
Does that make sense?
So that you can see the river.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is a new vista for people who are watching the video. This is my lounge.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It is.
So behind me is my settee and the fireplace and the piano. And that's about it, really. I'd like to make it more interesting than it sounds, but it isn't really. Except for one thing. You see where the piano is? There's that multicoloured man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's called Dr. Happy Man, and I like him very much.
Dr. Happy Man, okay. after the much-lamented Dr. Happy Man, who's no longer with us. I don't mean he's dead.
I
don't mean
he?
He's... No, he's not dead. He just doesn't come on the show anymore because he's loved up. But there we go. Next to Greeny, we've got from the broom cupboard.
Yes.
Adam, how you doing, man?
Mr. Potter.
How's things?
Things are good. Excellent. Things are good. Now that I've got my technical issues sorted.
Well, I'm not sure they were all yours. Maybe some of them were ours.
All right, we'll take it evenly. 50-50, let's split it.
Yeah, no.
We'll
yours
go Dutch.
Is improved, but ours is better now as well. Next to him, it's Duck Rock.
Aloha, no.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. I'm glad to be on. I've been hella busy this week doing crazy things, burning holes and things in the basement. I'll show you guys in a little bit something that I was goofing off making in my basement, in my laboratory, as the word goes.
Right, okay. You live in an apartment block.
We call them condominiums where we here.
All right.
Apartments, okay. Apartments are for renters, and condominiums are for those of us who paid.
Right, okay, so how do you get a basement in an apartment?
Yeah,
I'm
curious about that, too.
It turns out that, actually, basements aren't even very huge in Hawaii in general, especially when I am not even 800 feet from the ocean, but my part of the island is on some solid-ass rock, and on what they did is, in the bottom of the condo, they built a commercial area, and that's designed for people to run businesses, so there's a whole bunch of businesses in the bottom, and then all above it is a 44-story condominium until about 6 years ago was the tallest building in the island. And then now somebody eclipsed us by one floor.
I thought you were going to say that yours had sunk.
No.
Oh, good.
Actually, everything's rising, right? Sorry.
Yeah, rising.
To get technical.
Yeah, because you're a volcanic, so yeah, it would go up.
Yeah.
Next to him, making a very welcome debut and probably regretting it already, Dan Frakes.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Mate, that'll change by the end, probably, sir. Where are you from, sir? Do tell everyone.
I'm in the Silicon Valley, San Francisco Bay Area.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoy the experience. Last but my name is Lise. Patrice, how the devil are you, mate?
Hi. Pretty good. It has been a crazy week, but, well, I'm enjoying my day off, and, yeah.
And you got...
So I decided to join you.
you got an Apple Watch as well, so it can't be a bad week.
No, it has been a crazy good week, so.
Apple's delivery woes continue, it would seem, getting straight into the news. There are people who ordered on day one, minute one, nay, who still don't have a watch. I was talking to one guy this morning in an Apple store near here, and he was telling me that he didn't have his watch yet, and he'd ordered it at 1 minute past eight. There are people who ordered 2 days later, and they already have their watch. There is a chap on Twitter who who's one of my followers, Bob Beechhill, and he ordered a 38mm aluminium white sport band on Wednesday, and he's got it already.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some people are getting them, and they ordered, you know, almost a week later. Crazy.
And then there's people who didn't order one, and they've got them already. Namely
like
me.
You?
Namely me, yes. I have, I've got to say, actually, Nathan Smith is the listener, come follow on Twitter, who very kindly said he'd had second thoughts about his watch and he was going to cancel it. And I said, don't send it to me. So I'm now the proud owner of a 42mm steel Apple Watch. And I've got to say,
wow,
I'm enjoying it. I do have some errors, some issues with it. One of them's going to...
It looks good.
It looks great, yeah. I absolutely adore it. I'm on the last buckle point, though.
I was going to say, you got it to fit.
Fit would be a... fit as in, like, a pair of pants that are two sizes too small, perhaps. but yeah, it's on. Let's put it that way.
Hey, Ewan, don't be like the wanker on the internet who says he had it on the second to the last one, didn't tuck it, and it fell on the ground and smashed, which I totally don't believe, because
I am now Man of Steel, says Bookery. I'll take that accolade. No, there are people out... I mean, whenever you get an Apple launch thing, you're always going to get Ben Gate or, you know, Wire Gate or Holding It Wrong Gate or whatever it is.
Scratch Gate, which is the one that's cracking me up the most right now, because it turns out stainless steel scratches, dummies.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think if you touch it with something that's sharp, it's going to scratch. The one thing... I mean, we've got the... let's start with the first one that I think is obviously to clear out. It's the tattoo gate one, because a couple of the articles that have been written, when I've read them, I've kind of like, okay, well, you haven't said Apple should have, but the kind of the way that it's written has been a bit critical of Apple. And I'm the first to give Apple stick when I think they're up Pooh Creek and using their hands. But on this one, I'm sorry, move along. I mean, if you want to put opaque ink into your skin and then complain that someone can't see through the skin, I'm sorry, but that's your own fault. Or am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And I was going to think, I've been wanting to say this all week without sounding like a douche, but one of the first things that comes to mind is if you do something that's counterculture, and after you do it, it causes you to not be able to do things that people who haven't taken that path have done, it's not anyone else's obligation to adjust the culture to match you. And that's not saying anything wrong with tattoos. I have a tattoo myself. It doesn't go all the way down to my wrist. But knowing that, I can tell you, I understand what they feel like. I just would have never vocalized it. And anecdotally, real quick, I went to college in Japan, as you could probably see by Japanese crap on my stuff back there. And one thing you're not allowed to do as a tattooed person, you cannot go into the public pools and you cannot go into an onsen. An onsen is a volcanic hole in the ground with nice, deliciously warm, bubbly water that is natural from the heat from the earth, and it's really healthy for you, and it's one of the best feelings in the world. But I was not able to go in, and I used to watch all of my friends go, all of my classmates go, and then I'm like, yo, I'll try makeup. Any girls got any makeup I could put on my arm that will hide the tattoo? And we almost got away with it, and they're like, no tattooed people in the water, period. Because to them, it's a Yakuza thing. And so they weren't letting anyone in with a tattoo. I was like, yo, I'm not Yakuza. I'm obviously a gigantic guy from America. I can't even say Yakuza correctly. And they're like, no, you still can't go in. But I couldn't be mad at them, you know, because I chose to get a tattoo when I was 13 and almost got kicked out of my house for it.
That sounded more like a therapy session.
Or was that a man wearing makeup trying to get into the pool?
What?
I don't know how much you put on, but no. I'd revisit it myself.
No. So you had a tattoo, dude, and you couldn't get into the spa because you didn't think that they should change their ways. Hence the fact that we're talking about Tattoo Gate, Greeny. Subject. Stay on the subject, mate. And
I find it interesting. I've never tried to get into a swimming pool wearing makeup, and I haven't got a tattoo. But I'm happy with either, to be honest.
Well, all of which is well and good, but I'm not entirely sure how that follows on from either of these stories.
What's that bloke who used to play the piano?
Mate, don't go any further off topic. What? Bobby Crush.
Liberace.
Right, Liberace, yeah.
So if you dressed up as Liberace and trying to get into a swimming pool, they probably would say no. Especially if you bought your piano.
Well, it depends on the type of trunks you were wearing, I suppose.
I suppose so.
I mean, if you were wearing Liberace's trunks, then maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. So are we going to say Tattoo Gate is not a gate? Because I don't think it is.
I mean, it's another thing, too, when, you know, this is a bit of technology that a lot of, and I don't know if that Apple, I have to verify this, but I don't know that Apple was the first to use this technology for a smartwatch. I'd have to go look at the other models, but I think this isn't an exclusive Apple thing either. It's just, once again, you know, Apple's the company with the big target on their back. And so anything we can do to, you know, say Apple screwed up means we're going to get some nice hits on our website and we're going to really pump this up.
Isn't it a bit scary, though? I mean, this watch drilling into your skin. I mean, what on earth? Why does it want to do that?
Greeny, there's no drill on the back of the Apple Watch, just to clarify, okay? Mate,
what's it doing? I mean, why does it want to get into your skin?
There's a couple of lights, look. If I hold mine up to the camera, there you go. There's a couple of lights at the back there that there's two of them send light through and two of them receive light. So if the light can't get through, then it can't tell whether your heart's beating or not. So,
well, I think
to read your it reads your I not, believe it reads your veins. I think it goes through the skin to read the blood pumping through your veins with light.
Yes. So if you've got opaque inks in, which you would have if you've had a tattoo, then it can't get through. So you it doesn't necessarily always work.
Christensen, you are correct. The Mio, which happens to be a company that makes heart rate sensors all the time, I actually own like two of them, they use green LEDs and the Mio Link Amp Bluetooth Smart Band, which is these, I know a lot of the cyclists here for the Ironman love that one because it's way less expensive than buying the other the Wahoo one. Yeah, so you're right. Mm-hmm. Apple did not make this up.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure triathletes have known that it doesn't work.
Yeah. To Adam's point, I think, I don't know whether you guys listened to Jordan Cooper's morning dump, but I think he said it, I don't know, yesterday or the day before. He said that the internet or Twitter was basically waiting and drooling for something that is wrong with the Apple Watch. And I think, I mean, the Scratch Gate so far didn't do it. So this seems to be it for some weird reason. I don't get it. I mean, my boss, he has tattooed arms, and which probably means that he will never be able, or at least he will not be able to wear the first generation. Who knows what Apple comes up with in the future. But for him, I don't think it's a big deal because, I mean, it was his decision, and it's not Apple's fault. It's a simple technical / biological reason. It's not that Apple decided to disable this feature or to prevent people with tattooed arms to use the Apple Watch. It's just, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's physics, basically.
Dan, have you left this alone, or have you covered it at all, or?
Damn you, Apple, for not overcoming the laws of physics is basically my take on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. What can you do, Apple is doomed.
Apple create a watch. It can't see through plate steel. How dare they?
Yeah.
You know, I got a question for you guys, though. This is totally, I guess, sort of being devil's advocate, but there's two points I want to make real fast. Number one, it is kind of funny that it didn't come out until now, for the point that San Francisco Bay Area, and I'll repeat what Tom Merritt said point blank, and Tom knows this full well because he lived there before. San Francisco is one of the tatted up cities in the entire United States, probably second only to Portland. So, like, somebody in engineering had to try this, I'm guessing, or maybe they just got lucky. They got a whole division with 100 plus employees in the Bay that have no tattoos all the way down the arm.
The question is how many. I mean, I don't think it's that common in the. I mean, in the engineering department compared to probably arts or something. So or hipster, designers. So I think that's one point. And then the question is how many people inside Apple have actually been able to try it? Because I don't think it was a huge number.
It's not like a thing where you can say, okay, it doesn't go through tattoos. Back to the drawing board, chaps.
Yeah,
it doesn't go through tattoos. It's never going to go through tattoos, so let's move along.
Here's the other thing that's crazy about this too that no one's pointing out. Okay, most humans have two wrists, and you have two sides to your wrist. So I believe you can wear the watch on the inside or the outside of your wrist. You know, you can do that reverse thing. So this is only going to affect somebody who has opaque tattoos on their wrists, on both sides. Like, what percentage of the population is that?
And the original guy, to point this out, the original guy said all he did was switch it to the other side, and he nicely contacted Apple. And Apple says, you know what? We'll take a look at it. So he wasn't even mad. He just brought it out. And the engineer said right away, you know, we'll go take a look at it. I can't believe that, but we'll see what's going on. But my other point is, and I'm going to try it probably tomorrow, I'm going to see my brother-in-law. To put it nicely, my brother-in-law's nickname is Smoke. He's probably the darkest human that I know. He's a handsome bugger, but when he goes out to the beach, he looks like a tourist that just stayed out there and forgot. So I want to see if it has any effect on him, which I guarantee they tested.
Black skin's not a
curiosity. From what I've heard, they have tested it with all kinds of skin color, so that shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, no, that would have been a gate.
That would be a big issue.
The iPhone doesn't. Yeah. The Apple Watch doesn't work on black people. Yeah.
No, it does.
No. I'm joking.
I'm pulling a greenie.
On that very point, it would be good if people actually listened to what we say sometimes rather than just leaping to conclusions. I've had quite a few digs about the fact that I've given the Apple Watch a bit of stick over the last few months, and I bought one. So I wasn't given the product stick. I was given the information flow that was coming out from Apple a lot of stick. The product, I was always going to get one at some point. I just very kindly got it a bit earlier than everyone else would have done because I got it from Nathan. But you know, do listen. It's only entertainment as well, chaps. Calm down.
I've got a tattoo of a watch on my wrist.
You've got a tattoo of a watch? It's right twice a day?
Yes. Perfect. Doesn't need wine. Doesn't need anything.
Still cost you £500 though, but at least it'll never be obsolete.
And it's also a smartwatch because it's connected to your wrist is connected to your brain and you're smart, so that must be it.
Geez, you're so kind.
The smart part is wrong.
connected to Greeny's brain and smart don't usually fit in the same sentence, mate. Now there has been a couple of catches on jeans allegedly causing the sport buckle to unlock. Worn it, because the little bit that's left over on mine, I don't know if you can see that doesn't go very far into the retainer. So I can imagine that it would come out, and it's reasonably secure, but I could imagine that in a couple of weeks it might get a bit looser and it might pop off and it might come undone. But I don't think, you know, there's anything that's really a gate in all of that.
No.
If you know it does, just be careful.
I don't know. That one's just kind of crazy to me because I think one thing that definitely happens is you get the people who instantly get a product and to try to destroy it. And I'm not going to hate on them because the business side of me kind of thinks it's funny because I know what amount of hits on YouTube equates to how much cash. I've been a tuber for going on 6 years now. So they make enough to cover 5, 6, 7, 8 extra Apple Watches. Anecdotally, let's just say 150,000 to 200,000 hits is good for $100. So if you get 5-6 million downloads because you're the idiot that smashed the watch with a hammer on camera, they could buy a new Mac Pro. They could buy a loaf of bread, a basketball, and a banana to compare it with. Thank you, Dan. They could buy like 8 more watches. They could buy an addition. I mean, seriously. So, but it's amazing how many people come out. It just instantly inflames the trolls. They automatically come out. Well, see, you guys are stupid. You should have bought a Moto 360. It's better. I like Moto 360. Can't handle a hammer either, you dimwit. Or there are people that say Apple should have tried this or they should know. Like, what testing of what equipment out there do they go and hit it with a hammer? Like, I own a M3, and I don't think people down the street from Patrice's house beat my car with a hammer to see if BMW can handle being hit with a hammer.
No, maybe they can't survive a cinder block from 30 feet.
Yeah, like, they don't what if, stick it in a blender. Like, BlendTech, you want to surprise me? Try blend the BMW.
How am I going to, you know, use my Apple Watch when the kaiju come?
Will it grow?
I don't know what time it is.
That should be a new cast. Will it greeny? That's better. I'll watch that.
Will it survive a week with greeny?
Will it melt? I've got
to say, at this point, and I might be on my own, but I think the Apple Watch is possibly the dullest product Apple has ever made. I just get bored stiff listening to it about it. And I can't even be bothered to go into the Apple site and look at the specs. It is so dull. Is that me or?
That's you.
Yes, that's you.
I don't think. Well, it's boring. It's a boring product.
I get that to a certain degree. I mean, especially for us, we are listening to people talk about the Apple Watch basically all day long. And I mean, myself, I've been talking for a month now about the watch, and it gets boring because there's just so much you can say, and all the reviews are basically the same. I mean, you can probably categorize them in a couple of categories, but overall, they all say the same things, and it is boring. It gets boring, but it only gets boring for us because we are following everything.
No, I'm not talking about people talking about it. I'm talking about the product itself. It is dull.
Right.
It is
the dullest,
most boring product Apple has ever released, and I just wouldn't buy one. Why would I want to buy one of these things?
Well, I was with you at the start when I looked at the pictures that were coming out. It didn't look particularly appealing. I thought it was the dimensions of the pillow, if you like. And Andy and Atco agreed with me. They looked like it was a little bit too deep than it was long, and it needed to be longer. And I agreed with you. I didn't think it was a particularly attractive looking product. Now I've got one, it is attractive. It looks nice, and the fact that, you know, you hold your wrist up and the thing just lights up, that's really cool. The fact that it gets your heartbeat, it monitors your steps, and some of the cool stuff. The only thing I would say is, having worn it for all of getting on for 7 hours now, the one thing I would say is, do you remember the Balmer speech, you know, developers, 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 developers? I think that's the speech that Tim needs to deliver at WWDC, because that will be what pins the watch as being a quality Apple product, or a complete and utter loss, because it's got some cool stuff. It's got a great little, it's a good engine, it's a good set of wheels, it's a good chassis, but unless the developers get on and provide something cool, then people will go,
to a certain degree, that is
Apple Newton all over again.
It's not the Newton, that Greeny, no, it's not. It definitely isn't.
It is.
No, it's not.
Oh, the Newton was epic, man. If you knew what to do with it. Like, and you got to play with it. I think the funny thing about certain products is Ewan's definitely correct about it. Certain products, you don't really get their merit or their benefit until you own one. I bought an iPod day one, not because I even wanted it, but I was really curious. And I had watched the Creative Rios go around. I had watched, there was a Samsung something 300. There was a bunch of different players at the time. And at that time, my family owned a high-end audio and video store. We sold things like Krell, Marantz, B&W, Bowers & Wilkins, not the car, And so I came from an audiophile background, and I'm like, I don't want to hear smashed up music carrying around in my pocket all day. It's not going to sound right. I got these, you know, very expensive headphones. Like, this is just going to be horrible. And then I said, but I need one because I want to be able to tell my customers about it when they ask me. So I bought one thinking I was going to poo-poo it. I have owned every single iPod ever since then, every single one, including the Shuffle, which is hanging right over there on my water cooler. So, you know, maybe you have to feel it in order to understand it. And I also know that many people that have asked me, oh, can I try it on? And like, I don't really want one, but I want to see. They've tried it and they go, damn you, I think I got to buy one. So it can work its way into your fold. And all of us have one, except Greedy.
Dan's been oh so polite. Look at him there. I think he's awesome.
People, he has a smirky look on his face. Say something, Dan.
It's like, when's it my turn? It's never going to be your turn, mate. Get your elbows out, man. Get in here. Did you buy an Apple Watch, Dan?
I bought one, but I've got my loaner from Apple on right now.
Yeah. And?
So I wouldn't have bought this one. It's a little out of my price range. But I think he's right, is that you try it on, and then you start using it, and then you suddenly realize, hey, this is actually kind of nice to have. I've had it for, 7 days now? I think I use it more for things I didn't expect to use it for than the things I expected to use it for.
Such as?
I'm not using it, pretty much any of the tracking features, like the fitness tracking stuff. I haven't really touched that at all. But I'm really liking their notifications. My phone, I've probably used it half as much as I did a week ago every day. I've got a lot of third-party apps on it that, you know, right now I think that's the weakest point, not because of the variety of apps, but because developers didn't have much time to actually test them beforehand. So some of the apps feel like they're not quite done or their performance is bad, but there are a few that are really useful that I've been using all the time. So, it's so far if I hadn't bought one, I probably would buy one now.
Do you feel like it's gotten to the point where you would feel like you didn't want to do without it or couldn't do without it?
I don't think I've gotten to that point yet, but I think another few weeks I'll be stuck where I'll be like, where's my watch? I got to have my watch.
Yeah, no, I mean,
if I forgot it at home today, I'd get through the day just fine. But I think another couple weeks of the convenience of what it does, and I would want it all the time.
Yeah,
and I think that's something I said in the chat. It's not a lack of apps because, I mean, the most important apps for the launch are there. It's a lack of quality apps. And that isn't entirely the developer's fault. So what you said, Ewan, that you need developers, that also requires Apple to work on the SDK because there are certain limits in the WatchKit SDK so far, and I mean, there is no SDK for native apps, and we're expecting this we're expecting Apple to launch it in a couple of weeks. Apple has to do more work on that end because, I mean, one example, Overcast, for example, you can't store any podcasts on your watch on Overcast, so it's basically a glorified Overcast remote right now, the watch app, and that's no good. I mean, it's still useful, but it's not what I would expect and what I would call a quality app. And it's not Marco Arment's fault. It's just what you can do with what Apple has given us.
To go back to Greeny's point, I saw Steve Neighbor's watch, and I spent the whole day with Steve last Saturday, and the battery thing wasn't an issue. He put it on at like 6 o'clock in the morning, he said, and it was still running at 11:30 at night. It was fine. It was down to 8%, but you know, it was ready to be charged. It charged very quickly. The some of the stuff on it was absolutely cool. The kind of the Taptic stuff where you could send a digital message, you know, on the front, that was pretty cool. And a lot of interactions with stuff like Siri or that kind of thing. So, you know, we were outside, it was like, Steve, can you set a timer, taking the mickey out of him? And he'd just push the button, set a timer for 10 minutes, bang, it was done. And that kind of, like you said, Dan, you know, I can see me not pulling my phone out anywhere near as much as I would now, once I've got to get in the routine of the fact of using it. So I think, I think I will get to use it, but I think there's some things. So I've downloaded things, and I haven't had to play with it yet. I haven't had time, but you know, I think if developers just want to take what they currently do and provide a watch interface that doesn't do any more or doesn't provide any additional benefit to input, because Siri seems really good on it, then I think that they are missing a trick. The only thing that bothered me was that you can't, that they won't let you put watch faces in.
Yeah.
I get that right now, though. That may or may not change.
Yeah.
One of the reasons for that is pixel optimization and battery life. I think the minute that I'm able to switch my my screen to Manchester so I can look like I'm wearing a $150,000 Hublot, that image will take up so much more battery power than the very heavily optimized black and whites. And you know that the most if you try to bust out the chronometer complication and you move over to the option where you adjust colors. As you scroll through the colors, they're basically about 8 shades of black. And it's like black, yeah, raspberry, black blueberry, black walnut, and black brown, like when you pour all the, you know, the colors in class when you're making the end of the paintbrush, what the bowl looks like at the end. And so it's really funny. They're very, very slightly tinted colors of black. And this has to be all for optimization. What I do like, Ewan, is I enjoy Mickey. I use Mickey a lot because Mickey's the best conversation piece. It's also the one that the ladies tend to love.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you pulled with Mickey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it works. Totally works. But I had a meeting the other day, and it was with kind of a high-end client. So I switched over to the old chronometer complication because I happen to know that guy's a boater, a yachter, nautical, whatever. And that became the conversation piece. You know, that was the icebreaker. So it's kind of cool. You can do that. I would like to see the developer kit get to that, but I think you're really going to be looking at maybe 2.0 of the OS. This is a wild guess, but yeah.
I want to jump in on, you know, what I would say for me has been the big revelation with the Apple Watch is around the house now, I am misplacing my phone. And that happened naturally. I mean, normally I never had my phone misplaced because it was always on my person.
Yeah.
But now I've had to use the feature where, you know, you can like ping the phone a few times because I've set it down somewhere and then walked away and not noticed for, you know, 30 minutes to 60 minutes because I'm getting all the notifications and doing a lot of the interactions right there on the watch. And then I'll be sitting down and like, oh, where's my phone?
Yeah.
You know? So that to me, you know, I didn't expect that to happen. It wasn't something, and it just sort of over the past week just naturally crept into my life. The only other comment I want to make is on the developer thing, because I totally agree that once we have apps and native apps and things, this thing's going to really explode with the creativity of developers, and they haven't had those tools. So I think WWDC is going to be a big thing for Apple. But I also feel like the apps that are there now, yes, they need some tweaking, they need some adjustments, but I'm surprised at how good they actually are. Because you have to remember, developers, all they had was the simulator, which sucks for testing apps. And there is something tactile. There's something in the tactile experience that adds to your UI or sort of defines your UI in ways that you just can't do with the simulator. So what they've been able to do with the simulator, I think, is amazing. And I think now that they have these devices, even the apps that exist now that aren't native, they're going to be able to tweak and adjust, and they're only going to get better.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Absolutely.
One of the problems I have got with mine is I can't send digital touches.
Yeah, you can.
I can receive them, but I can't send them. So I've sent Doc a heartbeat and a sketch while we've been doing the show, and he hasn't got them. I'm pretty sure of it.
No, I haven't. That's why I just Twittered DM'd you. Yeah. I forgot the word already.
So he's just sent me a DM saying, what's your .Mac account? Well, that's fine because he'll be able to send them to me. But I've tried this morning with Steve Neighbor and with Don McAllister and with Adam this afternoon to send through a digital touch, and I can't. Mine is not sending anything out. It looks and it goes through the whole motions like it actually is, and then it's not going out. And I've tried deleting the contact. I've put minimal information in, just the phone, just the email, and it's not getting out there. So I thought that was an interesting one.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
Did you see the thing that I posted on YouTube about the glitch that I found?
What was that?
Okay, so I was loading everybody in, and of my best mates, there's Patrice and there's Jerome, the guys, and Ben Rothig, the guys that I do MacUser.pro with. And Jerome and I used to work together at Apple. We were genies together. But over the last, I guess, 8 years of having this account, he's been merging his V-card. And I guess when I loaded it, it had way too much information in that card. Like, his V card was about yo long with all kind of crap in the notes field and multiple occurrences of his Jerome Kohler, email address. And so every time I would tap his one, crash the watch and basically go to Springboard crash, it'll boot right back up. But I was like, man, this is kind of insane. So I started to investigate. I went into contacts on the computer. And I was like, holy God, dude, your V card looks messy as all get. So I just cleaned out a bunch of stuff. I deleted where he had his .Mac email address like four times. And I'm assuming he was trying to validate all four of them simultaneously. And as sure as grits is groceries, amazingly, it syncs back really quickly. But I go to click it again, and within seconds, it totally worked. So I posted that on YouTube, and a bunch of people commented saying that, yeah, they was wondering why that was happening, and they were able to figure out that, yeah, you go and you clean the unnecessary stuff. That the one guy said it came from his switch over from a T-Mobile, something like Android phone over, and left some things in a notes field that like that X octet something whatever, and it was screwing his up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so soon as he got rid of it, it totally worked.
Hmm. Okay.
So I'm adding your contact card now. We'll see what happens.
We need that fixing before the podcast ends, definitely.
I've got a story that's related.
Oh, cool. Please, Grinny, go ahead, mate.
We've got stairs, and I think there's about 13 of them. And the other day, I was able to do a fart on every step I took up the stairs.
Is that eating oats has helped you do that, then, mate, or cabbage?
Well, I don't really know. I've been trying to go vegetarian, and... And I think Linda McCartney helped me. I think she visited me and helped me.
From beyond the grave.
It was like back in the day, my neighbour and best friend's older brother was able to achieve it. And I've been working towards it for many years. And I was able to achieve it the other day. So I was very happy with that. And I wasn't wearing a watch. So I wasn't able to time myself. But... Or monitor my health, but I still was able to do it.
Excellent.
That's it, really.
Okay, that's good to know, Grinny. Thanks very much.
Has anybody else been able to do that?
We've had some feedback. Yeah. Thank you very much for everyone who's taken the time to leave a review. We do appreciate it. In the main, the reviews that get left are absolutely spangly, and thanks to everyone who takes the time. But occasionally someone is upset. But we read out all the reviews regardless. There is no way that we wouldn't do that. We're not going to read just the good ones. So the first one here is from Total Carnage. This used to be a staple of my weekly podcast listening. Loved having a listen with a diverse and knowledgeable panel, but recently it's gone downhill, and that's down a couple of reasons. One, the host. That would be me. There's been a distinct shift in Ewan's outlook on all things Apple, and nowhere has this been exemplified than by his reaction to the Apple Watch. He's so blinkered by his hatred for this yet-to-be-released product. That would be the one that would be on my wrist that I own.
Yeah, but you were pretty down on it for a while. You admitted it already,
No, this is the thing. I wasn't down on the product. I was down on the information from Apple.
Gotcha. Okay.
Apple have to say, what's the obsolescence? What's the information? When I order a watch and it says it's going to come, don't then say, yes, you've placed your order, and then send me an email that gives me a two-week window for it. That's not good service. That's what I've called out. So, Carnage, if you want to do this, and we've had this in the past because you're a bit of a fanboy, and you're a blinkered fanboy by a long way, mate. But listen to what I actually say. Don't listen to what you want to hear. Listen to what I say, and then we'll be fine. hatred for this product, yet to release product, and that clouds the entire discussion with panelists and ends up with Ewan's monologues about why this shows Apple are doomed. I've never said Apple are doomed. They've got more money in the bank than Microsoft and Samsung put together. So I think that's not going to happen. Quality of panelists has gone downhill as well. That would be you. with some who come on and contribute,
all my fault.
contribute very little. Dan, that would be you. Throughout the conversation, I'm joking, mate, and aren't helped by others dominating the conversation whilst adding very little. The host does very little to incorporate everyone and stimulate debate as long as it cuts his agenda. I don't know what you've said there because that doesn't make sense. It pains me to write this review as a one-time devotee. So this guy's listened for 4 years because I had a conversation with him going back a long time. And after he's got 4 years of free entertainment from us, that's the thanks that we get. Cheers, buddy. But it feels like the glory days are well past this podcast and the whole network. Much better ones out there if you want to get some interesting Apple news and discussion. There you go. Next one's from Jimmy. Firstly, got to say, Kelly was bang on last episode. Even Martha Lane Fox on a recent Richard Dimbley lecture mentioned Apple missing the period tracker in HealthKit as a massive oversight. That having more women around coding might surely have not happened. LOL. Anyway, Ewan and Paul are surely the hardest working guys in tech podcasting, certainly this side of the pond. My shows are Mac and Big, never miss the downloads, but there are so many more shows that this network provides. Thanks very much, Jim. Really appreciate that. Garlic says, I listen to lots of podcasts and the Mac show is by far the favourite. Not only is it entertaining, it's a great team with a lot of different views. 5 stars. Cheers, mate. Nick Donnelly has put, American tech podcasts are great, but they're often far too politically correct. This is a more irreverent British look at tech that won't find anywhere elsewhere, with plenty of piss-taking and general nonsense. Warning, you need a sense of humour to listen. The only problem is that the theme music should have a sanitary napkin advert going along with it, or an iPod ad from 2002. Thanks, mate.
I love Nick.
Cheers, Nick.
Nick's a good guy.
Mr. Fixit, first and foremost, if you haven't got a sense of humour, then sod off. Okay, now that you've gone, we can begin. Ewan and the guests are always informed and entertaining. Aside from Ewan, there is really no set of characters which is greatly appealing since they get a good mix of opinion and sarcasm. Do yourself a favour and add this show to your rotation and you'll be glad you did. Keep up the great work. Ewan, some of us here in Texas really appreciate the effort, mate. Thanks ever so much, pal. Do appreciate that. And Sandro, the last one. This is a great show. I enjoy it and the humour is refreshing and palpable with an exception. The guests are awesome, without exception. The guests are awesome and affable. Reviews of her compelling products are helpful. It's a great show. But Kelly's got to go.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did. He really said that. I thought but Kelly's got to go.
That might be a joke. Maybe. It's the Sandro I know.
I can't read that out, Pete. So thanks very much.
Go on, read it out.
I can't read that out. No. If you've got a review for us, I'd appreciate you giving us one in iTunes, because if you look at the standings that there are in iTunes, I'm convinced that the review, because A, Greeny told me, and B, Greeny hasn't done a show in like a year, and he's still ahead of us. He's ahead of Adam, who does like 3 a week. So...
So
please give us a review in iTunes. Whatever it says, we'll read it out next week. We do appreciate it. And give it to the world over if you possibly can. Absolutely excellent. And if your views are like Total Carnage's, we'll keep them to yourself, eh? And piss off.
Nice.
Right.
Hey,
go on.
Ewan,
what have
I
done?
I want to touch something real quick, only because I watched the crap go around Twitter, and I just wanted to put this to bed real fast. So there have been a couple of the people, I'm going to be nice to them today because, you know, Ewan doesn't like when I call people stupid, even though they may be, who were going on about, Apple is using a cheap stainless steel in the watch. And I had to point out to them that stainless steel grating is based off of a recipe of the materials that are put into the watch. Okay. So it turns out the Apple Watch is 316L. Some people just say 316, some people say 316L. something like a Rolex is 904L. But there are some high-end watches that still use 316. And 904 is hard, but it still scratches as well. So it turns out, if you've ever owned all clad pots or a set of rims on a pretty decent car, or, I don't know, utensils in your home, there's a lot of things that you dealt with that are built out of 316L, and they all scratch. One thing's very noticeable, though. You can take some polish, which is why they sell it at every stinking drugstore on the planet, and put on a little cloth, and you can just rub lightly, and a scratch will go away. A week later, that scratch will be back again, because it'll be a different scratch, but you could just keep polishing it. And I meant to bring
it... Well, it won't be that scratch then, will it?
No, it'll be a different scratch.
Right.
So I meant to bring it, but it's in the bedroom, and I'm not going to go in there and wake her up. I was going to come and show you my 40-year-old Rolex that I got from my grandpa, and it scratches. I polished it. The scratches have gone away. And it'll come back again. And it'll come back again. But it's just the nature of stainless steel, which is why they have been selling. There's one brand of polish I use says they've been selling it since the 1800s. So it turns out they've known for a long time that certain metals scratch.
Yeah.
And why in God's name would you buy stainless steel if you don't know that? And you cannot change the recipe of water. It's always going to be hydrogen, oxygen. You cannot change the recipe of an SAE standard or an ASE standard steel. So Apple can't, there's no such animal as cheap steel.
All right.
It is what
point,
it is.
Point made. Thanks very much.
Yeah. There you go. And they, there's a, or for the same reason, you can basically bring your watch to any shop that repairs watches or even higher end shops that sell watches, and they will polish it for you for a little fee. So if you don't want to do it yourself for whatever reason, you're lazy, whatever, like, do that.
Good to know.
I'm bored now, talking about this bloody
Jesus
watch.
Christ, go on, Grinny.
Boring, ugly, dull, boring. I'm bored talking about this fucking
boring.
Now, one of the other things that's come up, Grinny, just put yourself on mute for a minute, eh? One of the other things that has come up is the straps, because Apple have got a strap exchange program.
But I did it.
Well, hang on. One of our pundits, Richard Harkness, Dr. Richard Harkness, who comes on the Big Show, his wife had the 38mm white banded version of the aluminium one. So she got the thing out and looked at it, and she's like, wow, that is bright. So no, I don't think I'm going to have that. So they went back to the local Apple store and said, oh, sorry, could we change the band for a black one? Nope, you can't. Oh, but there's a band exchange program. Yes, but the aluminium watch in 38mm doesn't have a black band, so you're not getting a 38mm black band for it.
Yep. So I was told, I called in to ask if I could switch green to black, and they said you can get any color but black. So I asked for white.
You have to buy it. It's £30 if you want to buy it. And I've got to say, I think that's a bit overpriced. And the other thing that I found today was, I went to the store and I was, I said, oh, I want to try the Milanese. And when I picked it up and had a go with it, I was like, that actually feels quite cheap. It doesn't feel solid. It doesn't feel like £129 worth. And then I looked at the leather loop and, okay, I admit that cows with magnets inside their leather probably don't come cheap, but it didn't feel very £129 worth.
For the leather.
Well, it's leather in inverted commas, because it's that leather that's around the Apple Watch thing.
So when the adapters come out that allow you to put your own bands, you and Jess sending
your bands. No. Let's not talk about those. Let's talk about the issue of the fact that there was a series of bands which are a little bit pricey, I feel.
No. I was going to back you up on that. And so the reason why I was using that point is because I specifically am going to laser cut my own and stitch it onto an adapter. So I'll make you one as soon as it's ready. Because I agree with you. And I felt the leather. It felt good, but I don't think that was the kind of leather I would normally put on a watch band, so I decided not to go with that. The one that I did like the most, which is a Milanese loop, that one's just to me out of the price range right now for this particular watch. So I agree with you that $40 for the fluorolastomer, which is very sexy, it feels great, is not that much rubber in the world with $40, unless it's the one that stopped you from having a kid.
The other things as well, there's an issue of mixing, isn't there? steel and aluminium. Yeah. So
yes,
as well, because one will end, as we said last week. Dan, what's your view on the accessories market of this? Hitting the mark or a bit over the odds?
The bands or everything else?
Anything. I don't care. You can say as you feel, mate.
A lot of people are saying the bands are expensive. I've actually had the Milanese loop and the leather loop here for a week. If you look at nice watch bands for nice watches, the prices are pretty reasonable here in the States, at least. And they're actually pretty nice bands. The sort of infinite adjustability of them, how you can just, you know, pull off the magnet, put it to whatever length you want, and then, you know, plop it back down. I'd pay another $50 for a watch band just for that after I've used both of them for a week. But I'm sure, like we said, there's going to be a lot of third-party options for this coming soon. We've seen a bunch of accessories announced. We haven't seen too many in our hands yet, only a couple. Almost everything is still coming. But I suspect what we'll see is a huge influx of new gear over the first couple months. And then after that, I think it'll kind of die out, because I think that everybody's trying to jump on the bandwagon right now. But we'll see in 3 months if everybody who buys an Apple Watch really wants a bunch of accessories, or if it's just going to be a watch. And they don't, they're like, why do I need a stand? Why do I need, you know, all these other things? It's a watch. So ask me this again in like 3 or 4 months, and I think we'll have a better idea of accessories.
Yeah, no.
Do you still feel like it's a watch yet? Like, remember how we were talking before it came out that it's just one of those things we have to call a watch because that's what we align things on the arm to. But I'm already starting to get to the point where I don't feel like it's a watch. I do check it for time, but I don't know the right word. I'm not going to even for 1 second pretend like I know the right word for it, because it's a combination of watch and thing to draw dick sketches with on my wrists. Remote control for the music app. I have been using the health stuff a lot, only because I'm trying to make myself look more like Dan. It's probably going to take 8 years because I'm like 4 of Dan. It's some really cool stuff. My favorite, the remote for the camera, though. The remote for the camera allows you to take high-resolution selfies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a watch for me. The funny thing is I didn't wear a watch for years. And I was one of those guys who, whenever I wanted to see the time, I took my iPhone out of my pocket and looked at it, put it away, and everybody thought I was being rude. And I'm like, I just want to know what time it was, right? And so I actually have been using it a lot as a watch. I'm kind of like, hey, having a watch is actually useful. But it is it's basically a mini iPhone for me. That's really the easiest way to put it, because the stuff that I'm doing on it, apart from telling the time, are things that I used to do on my phone. I would get notifications. I would take a quick glance at Slack or messages. I look up sports scores. I keep track of the games. I use it as a remote for the Wemo lights we have around the house. So I'm doing a lot of the things I used to do on the iPhone that didn't need to be done on a 6-inch screen or 5-inch screen.
Yes. So much better to turn the lights on without pulling my phone out of the pocket now, because I have Hue all around the house. It's lovely to just pop it out and go, bap! It's so cool.
Yeah.
I have Insteon, and their Apple Watch app is better than their iPhone app.
Yeah. There's a third-party Wemo app, and the Apple Watch version of the third-party Wemo app is better than the Wemo app for the phone.
Ooh. Wristy phone. Nice win, right?
Wristy phone.
Yeah, no. The other thing is as well, there's no 42mm watches shipping until July, allegedly. And also, I went in and I said, can I have a Milanese loop? Nope. So you haven't even got any extra bands that I can buy? No, none.
No, they don't.
And they've got nothing. And they said, you've got to go online. And then I checked online, the earliest is mid-June for just a strap. So it's like...
Yeah. And the third-party stuff can't get here fast enough for me.
For the article we were doing... We couldn't find it anywhere, so we finally called up Apple. We're like, we'd like to write about this, but we can't buy it anywhere. Can we borrow one? And they're like, let us get back to you in a couple of days. And they eventually found one, but yeah, even they don't have them.
Really? That's quite interesting.
I think that's the most
concerning. They found one in Tim's desk. Our desk drawer.
Yeah, no, that is interesting.
Well, so that means if you get that one, Dan, you'll have Tim's DNA on your wrist. Wow, that's valuable, that. That's useful stuff.
Yeah, you might have Tim's dinner on your wrist, but not DNA.
You know, of all of the cool stuff that's going on in the Apple Awards community and what we're talking about, what I'm most curious about is, Dan, what is that kick-ass headphone hook you got behind your head?
What's what?
I need that.
On the wall?
Yeah, I need one of those.
That's like from Target. It's like the 3M adhesive hook. So there's nothing Shut fancy up. About it, although I should have said there was.
It's a coat hook.
I could start buying, start selling them on Mass Drop or HeadFi for, you know, $40 a pop.
Nice. Loopgate. Arborjack, you're awesome. That's going to be the next one next week. I wanted a loop and I can't get it. Loopgate.
Loopgate. Yeah, no. I don't suppose there's anything else really to cover. That's Apple, isn't it, all over. They've tried to bust it to pieces. They've torn it down and all that kind of stuff. And the iPhone 6 has really damaged the Samsung sales, but who didn't see that coming? This podcast of ours is brought to you by UK2. They are absolutely fantastic. They look after us for bandwidth, so all the downloads that we get and all the websites content that we hold. We've got content that goes back to when we first start, well, but before we first started, back to when we were the old Bagel Tech days. There's old Bagel Tech episodes that you can still get there, classics. Like Debbie McGee's Five of Spades is still up there. You can still go and get it. And a lot of the news shows going back into the day are well there as well. So go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and have a look at UK2 if you want to check out some of the offer codes before you go there. Or you can just go britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and go to their website and they'll know we sent you and you buy your stuff and we get the kudos. And even if you just say thanks on Twitter, at UK2, thanks very much for supporting British Tech Network, would be really nice. And also, they've put us in touch with one of their sister companies, 100TB. So if you're in America and you switch off at the point that I do the UK2 thing, then don't, because 100TB is an American firm. They do American servers, and they also share data load with the UK server farm over here, which I've done a video for, which is absolutely awesome. But you can get the server that we're streaming on at an entry level for $139 a month, and they're dedicated servers for you, and they are blisteringly fast. Our live stream server that we use streams at 2-second delays with distributed content management on it, so it really, really, really is snot hot stuff. So check them out, please, if you can. 100TB, and again, they're at 100TB on Twitter, so just say thanks very much for supporting us and looking after UK2, looking after British Tech, rather. And Wirecast as well, don't forget to buy the Flow, ScreenFlow, that's the one, ScreenFlow that they do, which is absolutely awesome. I have a copy of that myself. Right, it's time for the cool thing. So, Patrice, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, my cool thing this week is an app for iOS. It's called Newsify. So I'm guessing a lot of you people, I'm guessing a lot of the viewers, listeners, and you guys, you are still using RSS feeds and are reading most of your news that way. And Newsify is an app I discovered a couple of years ago. I was on the lookout for something that not only looks really interesting, so you can take a quick glance over what's going on and get the gist of it and see the images posted for every article and the headline and get a sense of what's going on and what might be interesting that way, especially if you're using or if you have a big list of RSS feeds. And as far as I know, it's free. It's available for the iPad and the iPhone, so it's a universal app. And it's rock solid. It has a rock solid sync solution. So if you've read something on your iPad, you can it also disappears from your iPhone, which sounds obvious, but well, from my experience, doesn't always work that well with other solutions. And it has everything you need. It syncs. Right. You can share. It has native share sheet support in iOS 8. It also supports, what is it, Feedly, I think?
You haven't got a fill time, mate. If you're done, you're done. That's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah,
it's great. It's great. I'll second that pick because I use Newsify and it's awesome.
It's great. Well done. Yep. Good pick. Thank you very much. Available in the App Store. Adam, yeah. What have you got for us, mate?
I think I'm going to have something surprising to a lot of people.
It's a Windows application.
Well, almost. I'm going to pick an entire company, and it's Microsoft, believe it or not.
How can you pick Microsoft as your cool thing on the Mac show?
Because, you know, they just had their event. They're doing some really cool stuff. I think some stuff that people aren't even doing. And I even made fun of this on Twitter. But if you haven't seen their HoloLens, like, demo thing, it's not... I said, there's no way I'm going to walk around with their silly headset on my head, but I like their thinking. I like their technology. I like how they're thinking about Windows and what it might be, you know, 10 years from now. But what I'm excited about is some of the software that they have out now, right now. I'm going to post a image here in the chat, but somebody on Twitter, you know, just showed the number of apps. Like, just go look at Microsoft Corporation on iOS, and it is amazing how many iOS apps they have, and they're getting really good at making these apps. But what excited me most this week about Microsoft was Visual Studio Code, which is a code editor for Mac, Linux, and Windows. It has Git integration, so it has your version control, it has support for all kinds of different languages, I believe including C++. It's free. Yep. It looks really nice. It's Mac native. Then also I downloaded a game from them this week because I had played they have a what's it called? Xbox Kinect game called Kinectimals. Little cute animals that you can interact with. So if you have kids, they're going to absolutely love this game. It's like $2.99, no in-app purchases, none of that BS. If you do have an Xbox and you have the game, I think you can take your little critters back and forth. But they're just doing some really, under this new leadership they have, they're doing some really great stuff. I even like Office. I think they've done a great job with the latest version of Office. I'm on Office 365 because I have to be for my business and the stuff I do. But I think they deserve some credit now for how they've kind of turned around. And I think they're doing some really interesting stuff. So... there you go. It's Microsoft. Check out some of their apps.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to say, if you're Apple, whilst you are the biggest corporation the world's ever seen and you are doing some cool stuff yourself, you've got to have half an eye on the fact that Microsoft are doing so much stuff that Adam Christensen mentions it on a Macintosh podcast.
Well, to be fair, I was a Microsoft C# .NET developer for 5 or 6 years, and I used Visual Studio, and I thought it was a great IDE. It was a great development environment, and I was excited to see them bringing that to the Mac. I mean, this is much simpler. It's Visual Studio Code. I'll give you the link. But I mean, it's free, and if you're looking for a code editor, I use Sublime, which I think is the best code editor, but, you know, this gives even that a run for the money. Now, granted, it seems like they're copying some things, but, I mean, they did some smart stuff, like make some of the keyboard shortcuts the same as what's in Sublime and people are used to using. So it makes transitioning easy. I mean, some people might get upset by that, but it's also at the same time kind of smart thinking. So it's a different, I think we're seeing a different Microsoft.
And oh, definitely.
So yeah, no, I wanted to pick them.
No, definitely. That's a first then. I'm sure. I mean, Jesus, if Carnage was going to give me some stick now, he's going to it's going to be even worse, mate. You'll be getting death threats for that. Doc.
All right. I'm one you can't buy yet, but I just want to show you because I had fun making it and it was kind of cool. And the other one is just keeping on topic. So I was dicking around in the laboratory where I have my giant laser and I decided I needed one of these. So here this is.
It looks good.
It's a little stand, and then you take your Apple Watch and you put it on, and then just a couple of seconds later, charging. Bam. So that way, next to my bedroom, hello, I could take my Apple Watch and put it on, and just, you know, it's kind of neat. I am going to keep playing with it till I perfect the design, and after I perfect it, I'll make some. I'll send it to you to give away, and my buddy who helped me figure this out. He's a really, really kick-ass industrial designer who has made all kinds of things from anti-lock braking systems to Nissan to remote surgical grips for people that do robotic surgery. So once we get it perfected, maybe I'll make some and put them out there for sale so that people can buy them. But I'll definitely send you some to give away to the people who put up with us. So I'm in beta testing right now. People, if you have any ideas, you better let me know before I start burning more holes in laser stuff.
Sign me up for the beta.
Cool. I'll send you one, Ad-Rock.
Me too.
Yeah. Put it in with me other thing.
And the other one I want to show you guys real quick. I don't know if I'll buy one yet, but I might just get it just to do a YouTube review on it. Because there are some people who are going to do this, and the company is actually making some pretty good cases. So Spigen, who makes one of the better protective cases for the iPhone, have come up with a rugged design. It's basically like a side protector condom thingy for your watch. And
it's a bumper.
It's a bumper. That's the word I'm looking for.
So it makes it look like a G-Shock.
It makes it look like a G-Shock, but there's only a handful of reviews out for them right now because they just started shipping it. But the people who got it so far says amazing, says order it right now. The guys show the ease of installing it because Spigen doesn't give you any instructions. But you know what? I might get it because there will be times where I know I'm going to do something that I don't want to scratch my watch. And the old news would have been take the watch off, stick it in the pocket. Like next week, I'm doing a cable install, which is going to cause me to crawl through ceilings. And I'm probably not going to want to have my watch on. But if I get this in time, I'll probably leave it on with this just to see what I come out with. And I don't know. I just think it might be a good idea when you know you're going to do something like mountain biking or something crazy where you want to use it, but you kind of want to protect it. And Spigen so far hasn't let anyone down for their protective cases.
Yeah, they also have a version called just the Slim that is barely noticeable. So if you don't want to go all chunky and G-Shock on it and extreme, you can look at the Slim. I was looking at that because I did end up, you know, as I think I said in the past, with a 38mm, and if I just want to beef it up a little bit, this is a good way to do it. And you can hardly, I think you can hardly tell that there's even a bumper on there.
And they, you know what, I bet you Steve Sandy already has one of these because the Spigen people love him and they always send him stuff. Mm-hmm. I should ask him if he has one.
Steve, can you ask that girl out on a date for me?
No, I just want to know if you
have you met Doc?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Dan, what have you got for us, sir? It's a cool thing.
Well, Doc mentioned stands for the iWatch. It's funny, over at Wirecutter, we've been tracking all the accessories people have released or announced. And by far the biggest category is stands. And there's like, I think we've seen maybe 30 announced already. And I was laughing when I first started to see all these because I'm like, it's a watch. And you just have a cable you plug in. And now that I've had it for a week, and I've dropped the charger cable behind my nightstand 45 times. And in the morning, I'm trying to, you know, take it off without, you know, get the charger and the magnets apart and stuff. Okay, I want one. I want a stand for my Apple Watch. So it's definitely a first world product, but I think there's use for them. And so I'm looking forward to some of these. The one I'm looking forward to the most probably is 12 South's high rise. Oh. And that's because I've tried probably 40 iPhone docks. And out of all those, the high rise has been the best one in terms of... Mm-hmm. It's solid. You can it's easy to put your phone on, take it off without having to use two hands. It looks nice. And they've come out with a new version just for the Apple Watch that hides all the cables and everything. You've basically just got a little aluminum plate you can stick your watch on at night and pull it off in the morning. So I'm looking forward to trying that.
And as with all of the stuff that 12 South does, it actually utilizes your existing charger, doesn't it? So it's right. Not... Yeah, I've got my iPhone sat here on a 12 South. We've had a long relationship with 12 South. They've given us a few giveaways over the years, and it's because their stuff is just so damn good.
Mm-hmm. Even the packaging it comes in is nice.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yep.
The only reason we got to know is because I wrote on Twitter once that the boom arm that I had, I can't remember what it's called, was a piece of crap. Andrew wrote back to me and said, "Nope, we don't make crap, so what's wrong? Let's fix it." And they sent me a new one straight away. Absolutely brilliant customer service. Superb. My cool thing is FilmTag. It's £3.99, so I'm guessing that's going to be $5.99 in the American App Store. And it's a simple tag editor for the films that you've got. So I've ripped my entire DVD and Blu-ray library down onto a server here. It runs on a 6-terabyte drive that's linked to my old MacBook Pro. And some of the stuff's really good. And I've gone through and I've got all the cool movie posters and stuff like that and put them on. But there's no descriptions or any of that kind of stuff, and there's no way I'm going to sit and do that. So for $3.99, all you've got to do is grab all of your films, drag them into FilmTag, and FilmTag will automatically go and look for the movie poster, and it will automatically add the descriptions and all the key features that you get in the normal ID3 tag for your movie. How good is it? If you've actually spelt the movie correctly, it's not bad at all. It does very, very well. There's a few of them that have come up where I've got problems, and I would say if you're going to batch process them, I'd do them in like all the A's, all the B's, all the C's, depending on how many you've got. So maybe don't do more than 30 at a time, because it takes too long otherwise. But I've gone through, I only had a sit and had a play for about 35, 40 minutes yesterday, and I'm up to E, so I'm not doing too bad. But yeah, FilmTag, it's really good, really, really good. Thanks to Jason Hooper as well on Twitter for recommending that one. He gave me that yesterday.
Where were you 2 weeks ago when somebody asked me about this on MacCast? I had to cover it.
Oh, right.
This is in the UK.
I don't know if this was here or not. It was updated on the 16th of March, but it must have been out there, yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Plaud. If you're out there, Anthony, good job, mate, because it's a good application. The only thing that's kind of annoying is when you drag it over and you sort out all the covers and you click, yep, and it fixes them. What it should do then is allow you to drag the next one in. And it doesn't have to manually clear that list and then drag stuff over. So that would be a nice little tweak, perhaps. But, I mean, that's been like, picky. Really, really picky. Does it really
only do iTunes-compatible ones? Or for, like, my Blu-ray rips, I save them in MTS or MKV?
No, I think it'll only do MP4 or M4V.
So. Gangster.
So, bad luck. Well, I have a word with Anthony, see if he'll write something. But... no, it's excellent. It's a really good app. Well done, mate. Now then, don't switch off here at this point because you think it's the end, because we're going to talk about the Bash. And you're going to go, oh, yeah, here we go. We're talking about the Bash. Bash is the third for the curry, fourth for the event, £10 for your curry deposit and £20 for your main event if you want to come to the Bash. The one thing I will say, though, is I've put down on a new apartment down the road, and that's the room where the studio is going to be there. It's still got lights, no lights on it yet. Everything's hanging from the ceiling, but it is going to be done in about the next month or so, so I won't be in there for about 4 or 5 weeks. But we will do a Mac show on the Friday before the Bash. That's not going to change. So, but what we will do is we'll set up the studio so that anyone who wants to come and sit in live while we do the show can do. We need to sit and have a figure out the audio and how we're going to deal with all of that so that everyone can hear everything. But... if you come along, then you'll be able to come up to the new studio and you'll be able to sit in on the show on live on the night of the night before the Bash. So that'd be cool. Get your tickets over at britishsetnetwork.com/bash tickets and you can come along. Just buy them. You're in. And also, I want to say thanks to Dan Rodriguez, because Dan Rodriguez took up our caricature offer and got Len Peralta to make him his own caricature. And for that, he got the sticker bomb artwork with his Twitter, and he gets this to put on the back of his iPhone 6 or MacBook Pro or anything he likes. And he joins Andy and Arthur, who had theirs done last week as well. Thanks very much for that. You give us a little tiny donation out of that. The majority of it goes to Len, but you give us a donation which helps us get more of our caricatures done, because they don't come cheap, because Len's really, really talented. So he shouldn't cheat himself, but we're going to get the next batch of people done now in the caricature lot. So there we go. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Patrice?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at @casual_kitchen. I've also got a blog where I, well, very randomly write about random stuff I find interesting. You can find that one at brandermoore.net. And other than that, I've got a podcast with Jerome and Ben. You can find that one at deconstruct.tv and on MacUser.pro with Doc, Jerry, Kelly, and Ben.
If you're wondering where Greeny's gone, he's lost connection. He sent me a DM off his phone. So he said, no problem. Have a lovely weekend, a bank holiday weekend, mate, because it's a bank holiday here. So no worries, Greeny. We'll see you soon, mate. You can get with Will at British Mac on Twitter and at British Mac, BritishMac.com if you want to go and listen to Will's podcast from 1990. he did one at Christmas, I think. Adam, where are you?
I'm over at maccast.com, or you can just search for the Maccast on iTunes. I also do an iOS show called The iOS Show at theiosshow.com with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet. Pretty much I'm Maccast on all the Twitters and the social whatevers that you use. And if you happen to catch this week's Mac Break Weekly as well, I was tapped to come on with Andy Anatko and Leo and Renee Ritchie, and we talked Apple Watch. So if you want more Apple Watch stuff, there you go. Of course, I did Apple Watch on the Maccast this week, too.
Who did you have to sleep with to get that?
I don't know. I guess maybe because you've kind of been around for forever, so
yeah,
you're a dinosaur like I am.
Thanks, mate. Doc, where are you, pal?
You can find me at the internets, on the internets with a Z, all over the place at DOCROCK. Normally that is the proper username. And you can find me on MacUser.pro and, of course, on the British Tech Network as the irritating American.
Thank you. Dan, I'm not, you notice I'm not arguing with that. Dan, where are you, mate?
I'm on Twitter at Dan Frakes, and I am online at thewirecutter.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Gamer Show is on Monday, so check that out. That's going to be at 8 p.m. UK time. Until that, have a good bank holiday weekend. Enjoy the relaxation and hopefully some decent weather, although being Britain, of course, it probably won't be. And if you're listening live, stick around for the pinch, because that's next. Thanks for listening.